It's Friday night. That means it's time for the Don Tony Show.
You've waited all week, and now it's finally here. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
Yeah, I got to whip out that old Friday intro because we usually do the show on Saturdays. But this week we had to do the show Friday night, an abbreviated show. I think I have a good reason. Tomorrow, the Don Tony. I'm a Don Tony guy, and tomorrow I marry a Don Tony girl. So I want to welcome everyone to this special episode. We had to get on record about Clash at the Castle. I mean, tomorrow, it's only six matches. But, you know, I think there's going to be some major implications. You know, we've rode the Drew McIntyre train. And, when we get into predictions in a few minutes, and I'm not going to spend much time on it because most of you, by the time you see this, Clash at the Castle will already be gone. But what I'm going to do tonight is talk beyond Clash at the Castle because I think that's very important in trying to determine who actually is going to come out on top on these matches. Now, for everyone out there who is seeing this before Clash at the Castle, very, very, very important. We know it's taking place overseas in the UK. But for my American friends out there, mark it down. You'll be shocked how many people still do not realize Clash at the Castle starts at 1 o'clock Eastern. A lot of people don't realize that. Yes, I know the time difference and everything, but people have not thought about that. And I could tell you, no BS, of all the people that I mingled with today, about personal stuff, wrestling, whatever it is, at least half of them thought that the event was going to start at 7 o'clock at night. Few people thought it was even going to be on tape delay. So mark it down, 1 p.m. Eastern, which if you live on the West Coast, 10 a.m., you wake up too late. The event might already be in progress. So, and I'll tell you, that's pretty cool because obviously my ceremonies don't start until 5 o'clock. At 5:30, I will be officially, you know, down the altar. So by then, we will know who came out on top between Drew McIntyre and Roman Reigns. So that'd be pretty cool to know that Drew McIntyre actually won. So, all right, without further ado, let's get into this. And look, I don't want to start off with sad news, but, you know, if you're a fan of this guy, even if you can't spring for the shirt, maybe you don't have the funds right now, maybe you don't like the shirt, you send him a little get well wish, little uplifting message. I think he would appreciate it just as much. For those that don't know, Joe Doering, Impact wrestler, he has dealt with brain cancer. And, you know, when I started reading a little bit into his past medical history, you know, he had brain cancer in 2016 and, you know, he had chemo, surgery, a lot of radiation. They thought he would never come back to wrestling ever again. And he did. He overcame. He came back. Unfortunately, something else also came back, and that is the brain cancer. So Joe Doering is stepping away, having to undergo this again. You know, if you remember, everybody forgot about Don West. Remember we had that conversation a few months ago, you know, came back for Don West. Nobody cared. Nobody said a thing. Unless somebody posts it and then a trillion websites cut and paste it. You know, I don't even know what happened with that. You know, I'm going to look and try to find out. Hope he's okay. But Joe Doering, you know, I can tell you on behalf of the family, we all send our thoughts and prayers your way. And if you want to pick up that shirt, all of the proceeds, not just the profits, the proceeds go towards his medical bills. That's a big deal. You know, you gotta pay close attention. And look, any charity is generous. It's a generous gesture. But there is a big difference between profits and proceeds. Profits, okay, if it costs me $10 to make the shirt and I sell it for, well, if it costs $15 to make the shirt, well, $10 to make the shirt, $5 to ship it, and I charge $19, about $4 and change goes towards the charity. That's the profits. But if I sell a shirt, and it costs me $10 to make and $5 to ship, all of the proceeds means every one of those $15 goes to the cause. Big deal. Big deal. Very, very generous gesture on behalf of Impact Wrestling. Joe Doering, our thoughts and prayers are with you. All right. Before we get into SmackDown, Clash at the Castle, let's spend a couple of minutes. And by the way, I'm sure most of you on the replay, you could tell that tonight's show is a little bit of an abbreviated show. We're only going to go about an hour, and I know a lot of people aren't even aware that we're doing this Friday night. Hey, Rampage is on the air. The watch party that I normally host is on here right now. But honestly, I got to get up super early tomorrow. And yes, an hour would not make or break me, but, you know, with all due respect to AEW and Rampage, you know, I don't need any acknowledgement. I don't need any support. I don't need, but, you know, sometimes when you give and you give and you give and you give and you give, and it seems like, you know, it's not appreciated in return, you just feel like, nah, you know what? Mm-mm. So we're doing the show while Rampage is on the air. So anything pertinent that goes down, we could always get into it on Monday. So, and if you didn't check out my AEW All Out predictions and NXT Worlds Collide, when I go like this, for the YouTube family out there, a link will pop up and you could go watch that. So let's talk a little bit about Triple H. Ariel Helwani did a spectacular interview with Triple H. Spectacular. It runs 75 minutes. I got to be honest with you. I've been watching WWE since it was the WWWF in 1979. And I can't remember another year where we had two executives get open, down, dirty, talk about whatever, ask me whatever, and I answer it. You know, the Vince McMahon interview earlier this year with Pat McAfee, Triple H's interview with Ariel Helwani, you know, that's something you don't see. That's something you don't get. Not 75 minutes, not 90 minutes with Vince. And this was tremendous. And you know what upset me about it? I watched the entire interview earlier today. He talks about AEW. He talks about Sasha Banks. He talks about Braun Strowman. He talks about Bray Wyatt. He talks about his health. He talks about the 15 hours of surgery that he had to have. He talks about why he has a defibrillator. He talks about a lot of raw things. He talks about Stephanie and why she went home. And listen, if you look at the synopsis, this is not spiking the football. But any of you out there that truly support what I do and have listened to the shows for the last 2+ years, the Vince McMahon interview, I don't know if you notice a pattern, but it happened again today, and it pissed me off because I had not watched the Triple H interview yet with Ariel Helwani. I thought all he talked about was mostly the pay-per-view and AEW. That's all I thought he talked about. Because I noticed when I went on social media today, the big topic of discussion was Triple H said that AEW beat a developmental territory. People calling him a liar, revisionist history, words like that. Now, I know for the last 2.5 years, we have had this conversation as far as WWE taking their eye off of what NXT was supposed to be. And in 2019, before AEW's Dynamite went on the air, Triple H talked about NXT. Times and dates matter. And when I saw all of this, calling him out, calling him a liar today, I had the flashbacks of Vince McMahon and Pat McAfee. When Vince told Pat McAfee that once they became corporate, he has to answer to the stockholders, he has to answer to the investors, he has to do this, and unfortunately, and people called Vince McMahon a liar. Just because he likes to whip his dick out, you know, to people that are not called Linda, doesn't make him a liar, all right? And I laugh every time I saw people doing that because the people calling him a liar are the people that tried to push onto you their agenda-based bullshit for years. What they want NXT to be, what they want WWE to be, what they want this person to look like, feel like, sound like, this. It's agenda-based. It's not fact. And the problem is there are too many news sites out there. There are too many shows out there that are not news reporters. They're agenda-based podcasters, agenda-based reporters. You see, I talked about blurred lines 3 weeks ago. Have you taken notice of what Jim Cornette's been saying, of what Conan, Disco Inferno, and some others have been saying? I'm not telling you to like all of these people, what Vince Russo has been saying. I'm not telling you to like any of these people. The point is that one thing that they all seem to have in common is that they're talking about the blurred lines. And they're talking about, you know, you don't know, like, what is actually a storyline and what is shoot. And they bring up Eddie Kingston and how Eddie Kingston tries to make everything look like a shoot. And I'm one of the biggest Eddie Kingston fans out there. I'm not criticizing the guy, you know. And then we talk for the last 2 weeks about Thunder Rosa getting 47 seconds of TV time for her situation. CM Punk gets 10 minutes. Nobody wants to open their fucking mouth. So finally, this weekend, somebody opened their fucking mouth. And we're going to talk about Tony Khan on Wednesday, not today. But Tony Khan pretty much said, look, I do things for ratings. I do things for ratings. That's pretty much what he said. And it's fucked up. But if you pay attention to what we talk about the last 2.5 years, you knew that already. You knew that already. So Vince McMahon is labeled as a liar. That man would be in jail right now, not for screwing around, not for giving Trump money, but it would be securities fraud. If he lies and says this and investors are swayed and swerved and it affects the stock market, that could be fraud. So now Triple H does an interview with Ariel Helwani, 75 minutes. And again, I wasn't going to mention this, but I can't tell you how many of you went out of your way today to either DM me, post online, social media, email, say to me, DT, you got to check out this Triple H interview. Every fucking topic, every topic that we talked about and talked real. And how many times did I say, look, the truth is not sexy. Stephanie went home to spend time with her family. Because Triple H, you know, he's just coming back from this major surgery and, you know, she's got to spend some time in this snap. And then obviously she was pulled back early because of what happened with Vince. Every topic that we talked about, Triple H echoed almost word for word. That doesn't make me Nostradamus. That doesn't mean I have lots of connections. The problem is there's a lot of other news reporters out there. There's a lot of other podcasters out there that could have said the very same things that we talked about. Sasha Banks, remember? Promises made, promises not kept. Communication breakdown. Remember when I compared it to the Led Zeppelin song? What did Triple H say today? The exact two words, communication breakdown. Every topic that Triple H touched on, almost word for word of what we talked about. And this is just another example. The problem is in 2022, a lot of people don't want the truth. It's not sexy. They'd rather be lied to and get titillated and get emotional and scream and yell and this and that than to have the truth given to them. I'd rather give you the truth, even if it's boring, even if it sacrifices me lots of viewers. You know, don't write those clickbait things. You go back and you look at a lot of shows out there and you look at their thumbnail titles. You look at over the last 2 years, and if you had $100 for every time they lied and clickbaited, you'd be able to buy a house right now. So what happens today? I go on social media and everybody's calling Triple H a liar. So I said, okay, let me go read the clip, watch the clip. Here is the 19 seconds that is triggering everybody.
NXT went head-to-head with AEW. It couldn't beat him. We're going to punish it. Was that a real thing?
No.
Nonsense.
No, look, we do. People put so much pressure on this competitive wars. It never was that. Look, first of all, they beat our developmental system. Good for them, right?
Okay. That's what sparked all this today. Triple H says they beat their developmental system. Okay. I did some research because, again, dates matter. The comment that everybody is talking about, Triple H in 2019 said that NXT is WWE's third brand. Did not say developmental. And that's fine. Here's the problem that everybody either ignored, didn't bother to look, or purposely left it out. So you believe what they're saying is true. Triple H made that remark about NXT being the third brand before AEW Dynamite ever got on the air. Before AEW Dynamite ever went on the air. And in 2019, this is something not one person told you today. Do you remember about maybe 3 months ago, we talked about WWE in the stock market? If you don't remember, just do a Google search. In 2019, that's right around the time when the WWE stock went up to almost $100 a share. WWE went on a massive hiring spree. Go look, 2018 to 2019. They went on a mammoth hiring spree. The WWE stock came close to $100 a share. They got the Saudi deal. They're negotiating other stuff. They did this hiring spree. Then something in early 2020 happened called COVID. And now the landscape changed. What did we say in February 2020? You can't keep the same roster when you're not touring and you're going to be forced to one place. You got to connect. You got to do this. This is the time to focus on developmental. And then what happened? Wednesday night war. Who created the war? Social media created the war. Tony Khan fed the flames. Tony Khan felt that it was a war. So when Dynamite, who everybody was supporting, was beating NXT, we won the war. We won. Don't you want to be part of a winner? Even if there's no fight, don't you want to be part of a winner? You walk down the street, all right? We walk down the street, you and me. There's some guy walking the other way. And I say to the guy, here, let's fight, motherfucker. And the guy says to me, why do I want to fight you? I don't even know you. Come on, motherfucker, fight me, bitch. Fight me. And the guy is like, look, what's your problem, bro? I don't have any problem with you. Come on, fight me, asshole. And the guy's like, what? And I punch him out. And he's laid out on the floor. And I look down and I say, I won. I won the fucking fight. Triple H said it's a marathon, not a sprint, to Tony Khan when they had their first show. Wishing him luck. Triple H giving a little advice. You know, you did great on your first show. It's a marathon. It's 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, whatever it is. It's not a sprint. And once COVID happened, they had all this extra talent. And NXT was not going to take over Brooklyn. And NXT was not going to take over Portland. And NXT was not going to take over Zimbabwe. And you got big salaries. You got 40-year-old guys, 35-year-old guys, guys that they can't even perform in front of live people. Nobody's buying the goddamn shirts. You talk about all the, Undisputed Era for life, Keith Lee for life, Karrion Kross for life, Bidz for life, Kushida, this is that. Do you ever see anybody go on their social media and say, hey, check this out. Look, I bought a Brizango NXT shirt today. Oh, look, I bought an Undisputed Era shirt. You might get one out of every 10,000 people. Nobody was spending money on the product. So from February 2020 to now, look, they got to change this shit around. You can't keep that kind of payroll. It's a publicly traded company. Tony Khan is a private company. Tony Khan could spend $50 million, could lose $50 million a year if he wants to. And in 20 years, that does this to his pocket. It doesn't hurt him. He's did billions and billions and billions. So it's a publicly traded company. The investors are going to be like, the fuck are we spending this kind of payroll on these people for? Why are we spending this kind of money on NXT? It's not even building the future. Oh, because podcaster A said this, or news journalist B said this, or this. So for 2.5 years, they have been pushing the opposite. And then Triple H gets sick. And then WWE goes forward and says, look, we got COVID. We have this crazy amount of payroll. The stock goes from over $100 a share down to $60 a share. Do you realize that in that time, Vince McMahon probably lost $500 million? That's not a way off. Vince McMahon made almost $300 million the last 2 months. Nobody pays attention to that. It's not sexy. If he lost $400 million, everybody would be talking about it. But when he makes it, nobody says a thing about it. So for 2+ years, they're making the changes. Triple H did the interview with Stephen A. Smith. You're a fucking liar. You're just saying that because of corporate. He says it to Ariel Helwani. You're a fucking liar. You said all along that it was a third brand, not a developmental. Well, I hate to break it to you. In 2020, when COVID hit, that's when the mass releases started really coming into play. And then they realized we got to shift NXT to what it should be, like Florida Championship Wrestling, developing the Stars of Tomorrow, developing the Roman Reigns, developing the next Bray Wyatt, developing the next Sasha Banks, Bayley, Charlotte Flair, everyone else. We got to build the Stars of Tomorrow. We can't just sign former Ring of Honor and Shimmer people and Evolve people, and then they're not even performing in front of live crowds. And then when NXT shows up on television, it's getting 600,000 viewers. It's getting 700,000 viewers. It's getting 595. The loudest noise want to tell you that Adam Cole, how could they let him go? How could they let Kyle O'Reilly, Johnny Gargano, Karrion Kross, Keith Lee, how could they? They're killing Triple H's NXT. They're killing his legacy. They're erasing everything. Well, how's about, no, they're going back to their roots because of COVID, because of the stock going down $30 to $40 a share, because NXT is not making that kind of money. But that is not sexy. So for 2.5 years, people fed you agenda-based bullshit. And every time Vince McMahon goes on record, which is rare, every time Triple H goes on record, which is rare, every time Nick Khan goes on record, which is rare, they say the complete opposite of what this agenda-based bullshit is telling you for years and years and years. And every time they say that, they call the executives the liar. The executives that could get in trouble. The executives that influence the stock market. If they fought the wrong way, the stock could change. Vince McMahon could do a storyline where he almost dies and the stock plummets. You know, but all these people online, they're telling you the truth. It's the executives that are lying to your face. So when you watch this Triple H interview, you hear him talk about Sasha Banks' communication breakdown, and you hear him talk about Stephanie McMahon going home, spend more time with family. You know, everything that he says about that, when he tells you about NXT and why it changed, when he said to Stephen A. Smith a while back, look, some people, you know, talent, 6 months turnover. If you know, it's always going to be a turnover. There's always going to be people let go. There's always going to be people this. Every time you hear what he says, think of those people online that are trying to get you to subscribe to their newsletter, subscribe to their Patreon, go to their podcast, go to video, audio, whatever it is. And then you realize, do you like being jerked off by strangers? Do you like being titillated with fake news? Just because it makes you feel good, just because it sparks a reaction, just because it gets you angrier at Vince McMahon, just because it makes you go to Tony Khan and go like this. You know, in the end, they're all wrong. How do they keep getting it wrong? Either, are we liars? So go out of your way. Check out that interview. It's awesome. Braun Strowman about to return. Sausage. You knew that. Bronson Reed, close to a return. You knew that. Sausage. It's not, you know, any earth-shattering, you know, breaking news or anything like that. A lot of this is common sense. It just blows my mind when I watch the Triple H interview to see how much every topic that we had, every topic ended up being right. And the only ammunition other people have is let me spin it and get people dizzy. Just get like a bobblehead. Triple H said third brand before Dynamite debuted. Once Dynamite debuted and COVID hit, and the stock went down and they couldn't tour and they had all this extra roster, they had to make significant changes. Why? Because corporate doesn't go on Busted Open. Because corporate doesn't go on Shitskeeda. Because corporate doesn't go on this podcast, this website, this journalist, this I look like a chicken. Because they don't tell you. You have a right to know. WWE owes no explanation to these motherfuckers. They owe none. Why? Because there's no Ross report. There's no WWE version of a Ross report to give you this. They owe nobody an explanation. And I think some of these people are bitter bitches that they won't get an answer from WWE. So take note of that interview. And as you listen to it, you say to yourself, is Triple H lying? Or maybe these other people are. Okay, let's get into Clash at the Castle. Now, SmackDown today, very, very quickly. This was obviously the go-home show for Clash at the Castle. End of the show tonight. By the way, anybody get a chuckle about the spoilers for the last 7 days about SmackDown? The spoilers were that Kofi went through the two tables. It was actually Xavier Woods. Did you see the spoilers that everybody cut and paste? Before they delete it, you got to go on those websites tonight, look at it. When Drew McIntyre claymored Sami Zayn, put Jey Uso through the table, put Jimmy Uso through the barricade, knocked out Roman Reigns by the limo, they said that Drew McIntyre went on the mic and ended the show saying that WWE stands for World Wrestling Entertainment. I sound like one of the Bashans. No, I sound like the Claw, Baron Von Wright. He need to know. The people need to know. Go on those websites. Drew ended the show by saying WWE stands for World Wrestling Entertainment. Pete Dunne today. Oh, my God. Look. Look, they let him bring his hair down. Look, his hair. Oh, my God, his hair is back. Oh, look. Look. I don't give a fuck if he's got his hair in a bun or not. I want to see how he's pushed. People, this is what people today, people going nuts. Look, he looks like Pete Dunne. Oh, my God, he looks like Pete Dunne. I'll never take advice from those people. That's aesthetics. Okay, the Viking, remember the Viking Raiders? What's wrong with the Viking experience name? What did I say? Call them the fucking whatever you want. I want them used the right way on TV. Today, look, don't get me wrong. I like Pete Dunne like that. Pete Dunne does look like, you know, somebody, an Irish fighter, you know, like they were doing. But people are literally coming in their pants. He let his hair down. He's wearing the gear like Pete Dunne. All right, let's see a month from now. Let's see if he gets pushed. Let's see if he starts jobbing out to Madcap Moss. By the way, Corbin issues an open challenge, loses to Shinsuke, down and dejected, a limousine pulls up, and the window rolls down just a little bit, and we hear somebody say, "What happened to you? Get in!" Corbin's got this happy look on his face, gets in the limo, drives away. Everybody is saying, "Oh my God, it's JBL. That's JBL that stepped on a nail barefoot. That did not sound like JBL. I'm serious. If JBL walked on broken glass right now, while looking at a Biden picture, that might have sounded like JBL. Did not sound like anything to JBL. I was thinking to myself, oh, you know what? It would be cool if JBL was the mentor for Corbin. I'd actually care about that. I think that's pretty cool. Then I was thinking, I think there's any chance that WWE might realign Madcap Moss with Corbin? I'm just saying. Dream says it was JBL. It did not sound like JBL. I hope it's JBL. I saw the bullhorns on the truck, but it sounded like JBL that stepped on a nail or stepped on a Lego, you know, or like me who steps on a slug without shoes or socks on. So let's see what happens. JBL mentoring Corbin would be great. That would be freaking phenomenal. And not only that, if it was JBL, don't you think the license plate would have said JBL? Why couldn't we see JBL's face? You know, I'm like I said, you know, I hope it's JBL. I hope it's JBL. But I don't think, to me, it didn't sound like JBL. I'm just giving you my honest opinion. Karrion Kross made his SmackDown in-ring debut. Guy's got a chip on his shoulder. I like what I saw tonight. Destroyed Drew Gulak. Left him hanging on the ropes, almost like he's crucified. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't think anybody got offended by that. I really enjoyed his return. Now, you know, Sami Zayn trying to do a little party for Roman Reigns tonight, getting some black roses, I guess that smelled like shit. And then he opens up the paper and it said TikTok on it. If there was any flaw with Karrion Kross for the last month, and I've said this before, it's not his fault. The only thing that they did wrong, WWE, he focused too much on Drew McIntyre. When I saw him make the TikTok reference to Sami Zayn for Roman Reigns, to me, a little bit too little, too late. Almost all of Karrion Kross's focus has been on Drew McIntyre only. Yeah, I know when he first came back, there was, you know, the references to Roman, but if you go look at everything, look at a montage, it's about 80% Drew, 20% Roman. That should have been balanced out a little bit more. It felt like Kross really has this vendetta for Drew McIntyre and not so much for Roman Reigns. So, but yeah, I enjoyed his in-ring return tonight. Ronda Rousey destroys Adam Pearce. When Adam Pearce said, you're not the baddest woman on the planet, you're the biggest bitch on the planet, I would have been like, yeah, thank you. I thought Adam Pearce was going to call her the biggest baby on the planet. Now, that warrants getting choked out. Calling Ronda the biggest bitch? If I was Ronda, I'd be like, yeah, make a shirt, motherfucker. Pro wrestling tees. So she takes out Adam Pearce. Shayna Baszler cutting a promo. Liv Morgan shows up. Liv is not scared. Not only will she not tap out, but she thinks she's going to tear Shayna's arm off. I like to stare down. By the way, got a little video clip for you for Liv Morgan. Remember a couple of weeks ago, the SmackDown after SummerSlam, Liv Morgan was booed. And all the clickbaiters online, she sucks, the fans don't like her, Reign, get the title off of her, blah, 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 blah. They see the fans, they show. Remember what we talked about? No, the fans didn't like the fact that she tapped out. That it's not what they want to see with a champion that's a babyface, obviously. So today, Ariel Helwani interviewed Liv Morgan. Now, I can't show you the whole thing. We don't want any copyright issues. But I'm going to show you the clip where Ariel Helwani asks Liv, why did the fans boo you? Then he asks her, what did you think of the finish? Go take a look.
But why were they booing you? If they were upset with the finish, why boo you?
Because I tapped out as the finish took place. And I think to them, it felt like I gave up.
Okay.
Isn't that identical of what all of you talked about that night on SmackDown the day after when we did the Don Tony show? Everybody else online feeding this controversial shit that the fans have turned on Liv. The fans did not like the outcome. How did Liv Morgan feel about the finish?
Can we break the fourth wall for a moment?
Oh, let's do it.
How did you feel about that finish?
I hated it.
I hated it, too.
I hated it. It's not the way I would have hoped for it to go, but like I said, at the end of the day, I'm still SmackDown Women's Champion, and I guess that's all I genuinely really care about.
It's kind of boring when it's the obvious, right? People sooner... I'm telling you, I've been around this. I'm doing this 26 years now. It's almost year 26. I remember back in the 90s where all of those websites would have those teasers at the very bottom, and it was all bullshit just to get you to click on their wet link with pop-up ads and everything like that. And after a while, a lot of those websites went away because people were like, I ain't clicking on that shit no more. I'm telling you, this is cyclical. Right now, a lot of those old websites are now in the form of newsletters, Patreons, and podcasts. That is going to get outdated soon. It may take a couple of years, but people are going to start saying like, man, you know, it's bullshit. It's bullshit. You know, how many times are you going to be lied to about Sasha Banks and MJF? And if you keep saying the same thing long enough, eventually it'll be true. And they'll be like, see, I told you all along. I told you before everyone else. Guys, I'm telling you right now, you know, Booker T is going to come back and have a match. Booker T is going to come back and have a match, and it might be against Corbin. Because when you want someone to come back, or someone that's not necessarily a wrestler or maybe a legend or someone else, who on the entire roster could the wrestler beat the shit out of and the fans would love? Corbin. So I'm not saying it's going to happen, but, you know, I'll say it now because in a year, 2 years, if it happens, oh, you see, you heard it here first. So I love the response Liv gave. It's common sense. It's common sense. All right. We had an awesome match today with Butch, Pete Dunne, defeating Ludwig Kaiser. Awesome. You know, I am so looking forward to seeing Gunther versus Sheamus. And I think that match is going to be, is being underestimated right now. I think people are going to look back. Look, is it going to go down like Ilya Dragunov and Walter? No, it's not, but it's going to be crazy. That shit is going to be freaking crazy. Hit Row beating Maximum Male Models. I'm a little concerned about Maximum Male Models. I know this was originally a Vince deal, but I thought Maximum Male Models, remember the first vignette or two? People were like, oh, yeah, I buy into this. I don't know why, you know, look, Triple H, when you watch the interview, he says, look, you know, Vince McMahon, you know, likes chocolate. I like vanilla. Vince got to choose the flavor when we had to order ice cream. Now, because I'm in charge, you know, I get to order the flavor. You know, it's pretty much what he's saying. But Maximum Male Models, I don't know where it goes from here. Having Los Lotarios get involved is cool and everything, but Street Profits come out to make the save for Hit Row. And I'll continue saying what I've been saying for a month now. I'm a little surprised as to how reduced Street Profits have become. I'm a little lost on that, and that's why I'm a little concerned that they may very well be splitting up, you know, not tomorrow, but, you know, keeping them in limbo like this, you know, I mean, you want them to have a legitimate, substantial tag team title run before they split. I don't know if it's going to happen right now. I don't know if it's going to happen. Thank you, Copy the Great. Thank you, everybody, for the wishes. I know I'm looking at notes and I'm, you know, browsing at the chat room a little bit, but I will watch some of this back. I will see. I put it on high speed just to go through the chat and see what everybody was talking about. Tonight also we had a bunch of vignettes narrated by Paul Heyman retrospect, Roman Reigns' 2-year championship run, and all spectacular, talking about the champions of yesteryear, talking about some of the big names that Roman Reigns has taken out, including Edge, Big E, Goldberg, Cena, Brock. You know, it was really, really good. WWE has really done, you know, this feud with Drew McIntyre, Roman, of Roman's entire reign, of Roman's entire 2-year reign, with the exception of Brock Lesnar, Drew McIntyre is number 2 as far as feuds with Roman. Don't get me wrong. You know, when Roman was going, you know, was not on the same page as the Usos, you know, that was pretty cool. But we all knew what the outcome was going to be in that feud, those, you know, what was going down. Other than Brock, Drew McIntyre is Roman's best feud so far. Cena didn't go long enough. Big E was, you know, was what it was. Goldberg, don't even ask, you know. I really loved Sami Zayn's jacket tonight. He thought it was tribal prints. And he was like, no, that's not tribal print. He's like, oh, it looks like tribal print. Sami Zayn, it looked like tonight that he stole one of Seth Rollins' jackets. Eric Sween, shout out to you, my friend. And by the way, big shout out to Giuseppe. Brother, you're getting married tomorrow. What the hell are you doing here tonight? Take the night off and relax. Wasn't that the theme song for the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle show for a while? Was it Take the Night Off? Take the Night Off. I think it was. What was the name of the group? I can't remember the name right now. But no, we're gonna wrap it up soon. You know, I'm here by myself. I can't see her until 5 o'clock tomorrow, 5:30. So sick of it all. Thank you, Roxo Wolfie. Sick of it all. Very cool group. They were big supporters of what we do. Problem was, because of trademarks and their record label, I tried to put the theme on our old shows and copyright immediately. And like even some band members like, bro, I can't do nothing about it. So it was a good song. I liked it. By the way, just a random thing before we get into predictions now. Today, September 2nd, 2022, is the 20-year anniversary of a Growing Up Don Tony story that I have told many times on this show over the years. It blows me away that this picture of yours truly is 20 years old. It blows me away that it's already been 20 years doing work for XPW, which opened the doors for everything else for yours truly. The reason why I show you that picture is because today, 20 years ago, I was on the New Jersey Turnpike on my way to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I think the TV station was Channel 48. XPW had just invaded the Northeast. Just invaded the Northeast 20 years ago. And this week, I believe, was the first week that XPW TV from the Northeast was going to air in Philly and I think parts of Jersey. So the problem is, back then, you couldn't overnight the tape, the master tape, on a Sunday. 20 years ago today is a Monday. So they needed the tape Monday night by midnight. Otherwise, XPW would not have debuted in Philly and Jersey. Yours truly, and that guy Slash, we drove from Long Island, New York, all the way to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, today, 20 years ago. And we were on the Jersey Turnpike bringing the master tape to the TV station so everybody could watch it. As we're on the Jersey Turnpike, it's now about, 10 o'clock, 9:30, 10 o'clock, my cell phone goes off. And I don't want to say who the wrestler is, but, you know, an extreme Hall of Famer. He calls my cell phone. He's like, am I on speaker? I said, no, let me put you on speaker. This guy, who is not a big fan of Triple H, I think you could figure out who it is now. This guy went on a cursing tirade WWE just put the motherfucking World Heavyweight Championship on Triple H. They handed him the goddamn title. And we were on the Jersey Turnpike, and this guy is on I'm on speakerphone, and this guy is cursing beyond belief. Because back then, a lot of you who are younger, who did not experience WWE in real time back in 2002, this was the Triple H show. I mean, don't get me wrong. The guy busted his ass. The guy earned everything that he got. But at that time, he opened the show, did 4, 5, 6 segments on a show, closed out the show. Everything was fucking. We called it the Triple H show on my hotlines. And 20 years ago today, Eric Bischoff handed the World Heavyweight Championship to Triple H. And it was on the Jersey Turnpike. And we were like, oh, that sucks. And I watched it the next day, and I was like, man, that sucks. And does anybody remember the main event that night? Anybody remember the main event? I'm curious if anybody remembers the main event. It was Triple H teaming up with Chris Jericho versus Rob Van Dam and Ric Flair. And guess what? Rob Van Dam hit the 5-star splash, frog splash, onto Triple H and pinned him. And we were supposed to go off the air all happy that Rob Van Dam pinned Triple H. There were no titles on the line. They hand him the fucking World Heavyweight Championship, and then he gets pinned in the main event, and we're supposed to feel like, oh, at least he lost. 20 years ago, today. All right. Clash at the Castle. 6 matches. Not all, you know, really hyped up for me. It's about 3 matches, more than anything. Let's talk about the matches, and let's talk about some possible outcomes. All right, first off, ooh, that's not good. Oh, okay, I see what I did. My mistake. Okay, there we go. All right. Liv Morgan versus Shayna Baszler. I would love, nothing against Liv Morgan. I am a big fan of Liv Morgan. When I used to do the show with Mish, we used to debate about Liv Morgan a lot. Liv Morgan has earned what she has right now. I think the problem is the choice of opponents that WWE gave her from the get-go. Ronda Rousey, Shayna Baszler, you know, legitimately could cut my fucking arm off as well. And I personally, you know, look, yeah, she had Natty, and she, but really, it's an interesting choice of the first two big opponents for Liv Morgan. And I would love Shayna Baszler to become champion. I've always been a big fan of Shayna Baszler. I feel that Shayna Baszler has been misused far too often in WWE. And I would be perfectly fine if Shayna Baszler won tomorrow, Clash at the Castle. My problem is if Liv Morgan loses this championship now, how are people going to look back on this reign? I know that Charlotte Flair is just about ready to return, and I can't help but to think that if WWE wants to legitimize Liv Morgan, it's not just a fluke, it's not just an inspirational story, she has to retain against Shayna Baszler, and then she may have to go through Charlotte Flair. Now, does she defeat Charlotte Flair? I'm not sold on that right now. But I think Liv Morgan will retain the women's championship against Shayna Baszler. I'm not saying that Charlotte Flair will appear at Clash at the Castle, but I believe Charlotte Flair is just about ready to return. Some people think Lacey Evans might be in that spot. I'm not so sure about that. I think Charlotte Flair has got to get thrown right back in the mix. They think that would be the ultimate test for Liv Morgan. So, again, as you see, I'm not just doing match prediction. I'm trying to go one step further. So what we're talking about is not outdated in 12 hours from now, 14 hours. So I am going to go with Liv Morgan to retain against Shayna Baszler. Chaos, don't apologize. Take the night off. Seriously. I'm about to. So, yeah, Liv Morgan is going to retain, and then I think the ultimate test is going to be Charlotte Flair. Next, Gunther versus Sheamus. Man, I think this crowd is going to get behind Sheamus big time, but I think they're also going to get behind Gunther big time. I cannot see them taking this title off of Gunther right now. Makes no sense to me whatsoever. I personally think this match could very well end up in a double disqualification. I think they do all their signature moves. Sheamus with the 10 shots to the chest. Gunther with his vintage chops. I think they are going to beat the living shit out of each other. I think there's going to be a point where both guys are going to be laid out on the mat and the crowd is just going to start losing their shit. This is awesome. I think they are going to destroy each other. And I think it could very well end where they're both outside the ring. They both are brawling. They don't want to break it up. Either double count out, double disqualification. I don't think there's going to be a winner. I know that's a very unpopular thing to say, but I think by having no winner, obviously Sheamus doesn't lose. Gunther doesn't lose, but he doesn't win also, and we have Extreme Rules coming up in October. No reason why we cannot have a rematch. In fact, I think with Extreme Rules, you add a little stipulation, a little gimmick to this. Hell yeah, man. So I am going. Look, no, listen, Mark, you are 100% right. A double DQ, double count out would suck. It would suck donkey balls. I don't want a double DQ or a double count out. But I'm trying to think with this and not with this. If I think with this, Gunther retains. He wins by just the skin of his, was it, strand of a hair, whatever it is. He'll win by the tiniest of margins. I bailed myself out. So, yeah, no, if I think with this, Gunther will win, but he will just eke it out. But I think WWE wants to continue this further. They cannot contain them. They just will not stop. Fans will not like it, but we'll get more. I think we'll get more. So either double count out, double disqualification. That's what I'm going to go with. So, all right, let's continue. Next. Bianca Belair not defending her women's championship. She's teaming up with Asuka and Alexa Bliss, and they're taking on Dakota Kai, Io Sky, and Bayley. Now, originally, I would have gone with Io. Well, I'm sorry. I would have gone with Alexa Bliss, Asuka, and Bianca Belair. I thought, okay, Dakota Kai and Io Sky will win the tag titles Monday. And since this is a non-title match, Asuka and Alexa Bliss can get their win back. Yes, in the form of a six-woman tag, but they could get their win back. I think now, with Io Sky and Dakota Kai losing on Monday, regardless of the circumstances involved, even if they end up getting those titles in a week or two, I think you cannot have a seven-day period where Io Sky and Dakota Kai lose twice. And I don't want to see Bayley get pinned either. So because of what went down on Monday, I'm going with Dakota Kai, Io Sky, and Bayley to win. And speaking of Bayley, I don't have the clip here. Ariel Helwani interviewed a lot of people today, and he interviewed Bayley, and he asked Bayley, if you could have one person back in WWE right now, who would it be? And, you know, I don't know who the co-host was. The co-host called him a shit stirrer, which was hilarious. Bayley would not answer it. We know the obvious. I think Ariel might have even said, you know, it's Sasha Banks, right? But, you know, Sasha Banks' name was mentioned a few times, and props to Triple H, man. I know I talked about it earlier, but props for telling it exactly, you know, how it is. And look, he said, you know, it's really up, it's in, the ball is in Sasha Banks' court if she is going to return. And we already talked about returning. We already feel, we don't know. No one knows. We feel what is going to happen. So, are you kidding me, Chaos? They went with QT Marshall and Ricky Starks in the main event. Okay. I'm not listening. I hope people enjoy it. Seriously. So I'm going to go with Sky, Kai, and Bailey to win the match. All right. Next. All right. The big ones. It's the big one. Riddle versus Rollins. Riddle me this. Riddle me that. Riddle me Rollins. Who do you all think is going to get this one? This is a toss-up, man. Seth Rollins has lost a lot in 2022. But you know Seth Rollins is a made man. When you could lose that many matches and it doesn't feel like he's being jobbed out. It doesn't feel like he's being buried. It doesn't feel like it's going to take a long time to repair him like Shinsuke and others. Seth Rollins, I think, can afford to lose again. He lost 3 times in a row to Cody. He's lost other matches. Seth is so strong in his value, his worth, his character, everything about him, his ability. He can lose at Clash at the Castle, and I don't think he loses much. But I'll be honest with you. I'm going with Seth Rollins to win. Riddle has also lost a lot more than you realize. I think Riddle may have a worse singles record in 2022 than Rollins. In fact, when we do Monday show, yes, I'm going to be back Labor Day, 2 days after my wedding. I don't go on my honeymoon until the week after. So next week we got shows. In fact, for those interested, this is my schedule. I forgot to show you earlier. That is my schedule next week. Next Friday is going to be kind of a toss-up because I'm leaving. I have to be at the airport Saturday morning at like 6:30. So next Friday might be a little bit up in the air. We're not sure. But I personally think, I think Rollins needs this win. I think Rollins cheats. I think maybe Rollins uses a sledgehammer, uses something, and this leads to extreme rules, big stipulation, maybe Hell in a Cell. So I think Rollins cheats to win, and as a result, this leads to extreme rules. Again, you know, Rollins has lost a lot, and some people are kind of frustrated. I think Rollins is a little frustrated, but you know how much Triple H supports Seth Rollins. There is a bigger picture going on here. Riddle can afford to lose right now, I think, a little bit more, as long as Rollins cheats to win. Uses something, ref doesn't see it, then he hits a curb stomp, gets the cheap win. I think that's the way Rollins is going to get this win, and then this will lead to extreme rules. So I don't see a disqualification in this one. Believe it or not, I tell you, I thought about early on that maybe Seth and Riddle have a double DQ or a double countout. Because if you look at this feud, this match may actually be more worthy of a double DQ or a double countout. Because they just hate each other so much. Fuck the rules. The ref can't contain them. In fact, I will tell you this. If Gunther and Sheamus does not end in a double counter or a double DQ, I could see it happen in this match. I could see it. The ref cannot contain either guy. You have a giant brawl, pull apart. Fans still will not like the finish, but they could just keep breaking away from the referees, and there's this giant pull apart, and you get all some of the agents come out, and Riddle breaks free again, and Rollins does this. You know, so you could see that. But either way, one thing is, in my opinion, for sure, Riddle is not winning at Clash at the Castle. All right, that leaves us one last match. The big one. I only said that again because a couple of people wanted it. Red Fox. The big one. Roman Reigns defending the Unified Championship against Drew McIntyre. I have said for about 6 weeks now that if Brock Lesnar does not defeat Roman for the Unified Championship, I think Drew McIntyre will. I think the titles will go back to Raw and SmackDown respective shows. USA Network wants a champion for their product, as Fox. And that was common sense. I know it was sausage, and some people tried to make it a scoop, but no, that's just common sense. Fox doesn't work with USA Network and vice versa. But as we've also talked about, Drew McIntyre is that type of guy that you could picture him showing up on Raw and looking down at both titles. I'm a fighting champion. I have two titles here. Raw, bring your best. SmackDown, bring your best. And I could see Drew defending both championships in two matches, not one. And that's how you split the titles up. You don't do that for Roman Reigns. The Bloodline wants all the gold. The Bloodline's got all the gold. Roman don't want one. Roman wants it all. Drew McIntyre's a fighting champion. So that's what I see happening. I think Drew McIntyre is going to win this. And Drew McIntyre ultimately will lose at least one championship. I also think Sami Zayn is going to be the cause of Roman losing. And I think I could picture the scenario. Kevin Owens, the seed is already planted, everyone. Kevin Owens trying to convince Sami Zayn, you ain't the Bloodline. You're not a member of the family. They're using you. They're abusing you. They're treating you like a clown. You got to realize it. Step up. And I think Sami Zayn is going to do what he feels is best. He's going to try to help Roman Reigns win, and it's going to backfire. And Sami is going to fuck up. Drew McIntyre is going to win. The fans are going to go fucking nuts. 60,000 plus. This is the Wembley moment. You know, you got 60,000 plus. It all bought tickets. So, you know, and this is not cheap. You got 60,000 plus for six matches. Do you know Wednesday night, I did a poll. Now, Wednesday, we only talk about NXT and AEW. So I figure a majority of my audience on Wednesday will favor AEW. And I put up a poll Wednesday, and there was a couple hundred of you that answered. You can only vote once. And I said, which event are you looking forward to the most this weekend? AEW All Out, WWE Clash at the Castle, or NXT Worlds Collide? And I think it was like 67 or 68% for WWE Clash at the Castle. And that says a lot, because you got six matches and a hell of a lot of people that are not performing on this show. And yet people are still looking forward to this more than AEW with 14 matches, and maybe another one or two was added tonight. You know, quality over quantity. Now, let me make this clear. AEW All Out is going to be tremendous. You know there is going to be some outstanding matches. I don't give a shit about star ratings, but you know there's going to be a couple of five stars or 4.5-star matches on there. But I think the emotion is more about the Drew McIntyre-Roman Reigns match as the Seth Rollins and Riddle match than anything else. CM Punk and Jon Moxley, there's a lot of emotion as well, and it's happened in Chicago, which is going to make it even more fun to watch. But this is the Wembley moment. Drew McIntyre is going to cement himself as a future Hall of Famer. This is the notch in his resume that he needs. Not just Bobby Lashley, not just some other opponents in the past, not Goldberg or anybody else. Beating, ending Roman Reigns' 2-year undefeated streak, not pinned even longer. That is tremendous, massive, earth-shattering. That is the moment. There is no one else on this roster that could supersede this. Drew McIntyre winning in the UK, Clash at the Castle, 60,000 plus. There is no one else. I don't think people want The Rock to end Roman's streak. I think fans would get a little bit pissed off at that. Nothing against The Rock, but he's not even a part-time wrestler anymore. So I'm going with Drew winning this. And you know what? I got to give props to Jason Solomonster, because I never looked at it like this, because for 6 weeks plus, we've been talking about Drew winning this. But he said something a couple of days ago that I think is really on point. He said that if Drew McIntyre loses, this is the Lex Express all over again. And not necessarily because you look at the persona, you know, the attitude, the likeness, you know, how much people love Drew McIntyre. You look at Lex Luger, I mean, you know, there's no comparison there. But as far as the build, the way, it, you know, and I know some of the vignettes have been only on social media, has not been on television itself, but the build for Drew McIntyre in this match, between him physically, personally, his family, everything. If he loses this, if you don't want to put it as a Lex Luger, I will just use two words, epic fail. I know that's outdated, but if Drew McIntyre loses on Saturday, that is epic fail. And I think that will just, it'll stick to Drew McIntyre's career forever. I mean, you look at Lex Luger. Lex Luger ended up having a pretty damn good career. But people will never let go how hard he was pushed with the Lex Express and got to Yokozuna and lost. Lost. So I think Drew McIntyre gets this. I think he gets it. So I'm very curious what you all think. Now, for everybody on YouTube and Patreon, we have predictions contests. Those will be closing in about 30 minutes from now, so good luck to everybody who participated. If you would like to post your match predictions in the comment section, as soon as I'm done with the show, please do. We'll look back. We'll either give you major props or we will LOL your ass if you get it all wrong. Everything I said tonight can end up being all wrong, too. I'm just giving you what I think is going to happen and beyond. And beyond, I think Seth and Riddle continue on to Extreme Rules. Drew will win. Sammy will fuck up. On SmackDown, the Bloodline, they're going to forgive Sami Zayn. It happens. I'll get the titles back. And they give Sammy a hug. And then the nod, the wink. They will fuck Sami Zayn up. Destroy him. And Kevin Owens will ultimately come to make the save. Maybe not on that show, but he'll come out after. See, I told you. I warned you. You didn't listen. And then Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens start their revenge. And then this, maybe Sami Zayn gets a match against Roman Reigns. I know, remember, he cannot fight for the title anymore, but Roman Reigns is not champion. So maybe they put Sami Zayn in the hospital. But you see where this can continue beyond this. So thank you very much to all of you out there. Special thank you also to King of Games. Much love, my friend. Yes, I'm looking forward to tomorrow. You know, I said this on Twitter earlier, and I'll leave you with this. I really meant it, too. You know, my fiance is a nervous wreck. Now, obviously, I can't talk to her anymore until tomorrow, but I am going to text her good morning tomorrow. She's a nervous wreck, and people have been saying to me, you nervous, you know, excited, you know, and I'm excited, but and I'm cool, calm, and collected. And I truthfully believe doing all these shows the last couple of weeks has kept me like not overthinking and, you know, just so I trust me when I'm in there tomorrow, I'll probably lose it. If you watch some video back, and we'll share some video on a separate episode that'll have nothing to do with wrestling, but I'm sure some tears will be shed. But doing these shows and hanging out with all of you and having a couple of laughs and talking about wrestling and talking about shit going down, you know, that's an awesome thing. And that's actually helped me keep my mind off of everything. So, yeah, but tomorrow ain't no podcast going to stop me now. So I'm out of here. This is the final Don Tony show as a single guy. So I am going to jet out of here. I want to thank you all, as always, for your support for what I do. I'm glad that I can give you a little bit of an escape from a lot of the everyday bullshit out there. Believe me, it's reciprocal. You do that for me as well. And I hope everybody has a great weekend. Rest up, because you have a gigantic weekend for wrestling. We have Clash at the Castle. Remember, 1 p.m. Eastern, Saturday afternoon. It's not 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock. A lot of people still don't realize that. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, Clash at the Castle. Then Sunday, you have NXT Worlds Collide. What is it? I think it's, what, 4 p.m. or 2 p.m.? It's the afternoon also. And that is a two-hour show. And then you have AEW All Out. And thank God it's Labor Day weekend, everyone. Because AEW, that shit ain't going off till about 12, 12:30 in the morning, minimum. But you know it's going to be loaded. So get yourselves loaded. Have a great time. And why not? KD with the finisher tonight. He's with the finishing move. So happy for me and the soon-to-be Mrs. Gives props to Serena Williams losing her last match. No Derek Jeter moment for Serena Williams, but yes, one of the greatest of all time. You know, I go back to like Martina Navratilova and some of those, and then the Williams sisters came along. It's got to be, what, 20 years ago? And, man, they dominated. So, look, Serena has no embarrassment going out with a loss. You know, not everything could have a storybook finish. But, yes, great champion. One of the greatest. No argument from me. So, everyone, to be continued, I will be here on Monday after Raw. You know, we'll see, you know, how messy the show is, because we're going to have to comment about Clash at the Castle. We're going to have to comment about AEW All Out. Will MJF return? You know, we're going to have to comment about NXT, because I'm rooting for Michael Satomura. Then we got Raw, and then a lot of people are saying that Braun Strowman is going to be at Raw. Some people are reporting Sasha Banks is going to be at Clash at the Castle. You know, hey, you never know. We'll talk about it on Monday. But Chris is asking me for a Rampage review. I've been here live since 10 o'clock. How could I give you a Rampage? You know, we didn't watch it. Maybe I'll comment about it on Monday. What happened? Swerve and Strickland talked. The Acclaim talked. FTR and Wardlow talked. Ricky Starks beat QT Marshall. And what other matches? We could predict who won all the matches. But, hey, I bet you it was a fun episode as a lead into AEW All Out. I'm not shitting on it. But Wednesday, we will definitely have a lot to talk about with Tony Khan. So, everyone, if you enjoyed tonight's show, chop that like button. Yeah, just a regular chop tonight. Chop the like button. If you know anyone that would enjoy this channel, let them know about it. And I hope you all have a great weekend. I hope you enjoy the wrestling shows. And I will be back here Monday, 11.05 p.m. after Raw. Night, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.